you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by our sponsor, Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more information, go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. Coming up on the podcast, Lucas Giolito speaking frankly about shedding the label as the top pitching prospect in all of baseball. His idea of the White Sox having not one ace, but five of them, and how his best and worst moment in the majors last season happened in the very same game. That is coming up. But first, Ryan McGuffey and a very sharp-dressed Vinny Duber is here with us with a tie.
When you're on the White Sox Talk podcast, you got to look good.
Even though no one can see you.
Exactly.
Look good, play good. I like that.
Vinny's looking good. Here's what's not looking good. Injuries with the White Sox during spring training. I think that they should cancel spring training, keep everyone like in styrofoam or something, and then or a hyperbaric chamber, and then play in Kansas City on March 29th.
I really have nothing to add other than let's see you on March 29th in Kansas City. I'm sick of this.
It really seems like maybe they angered a witch or something. They've been cursed almost.
Yeah, Luis Robert is the latest. I mean, he's in a B game on a backfield in Peoria against San Diego. He slides the glove of all people, Fernando Tatis Jr., hits him in the head. He has to leave the game.
The ghost of Tatis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's the witchcraft going on there.
Is.
So he's okay. He's fine. But Mike Rodolfo, Eloy Jimenez, who's going to be fine, Jake Berger. I mean, this spring training just started, and we're talking about this kind of stuff. These prospects of ours are just, they're jewels. They're prized jewels. They cannot be messed with.
Yeah, I guess the one that I need to see Eloy Jimenez back on the field soon, for my own personal comfort. I just expected at this point to, you know, have seen a ball or two left the yard and just go, okay. But look, it's still, we're not even a week into spring training games yet.
Right.
The injuries are unfortunate, but Birdie was already injured. Adolfo sounds like, if you read between the lines, may have come in a little sore.
Mm-hmm.
So technically may have already been injured. And then Luis Robert's a precautionary thing. Let's pump the brakes. Like I'm all in on let's stop the games and like let's just advance 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But look, you know, this is not going to be a trend. Come on.
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to make you feel
trying to make me feel better?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't serious though. I was kind of being sarcastic.
No, rush
I'm kind
on
of serious. I kind of want
All right, let's do it. No spring training games. But speaking of spring training games, normally we don't pay much attention to games on like March 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. But I saw who was pitching today, and I'm like, ooh, we got to talk about this. It starts with Ronaldo Lopez. He got the start, his first appearance this spring. Dane Dunning pitched. Alec Hansen's next. Nate Jones making his first pitch since elbow surgery. We saw Lopez. His numbers, I have it right here.
Two innings, two walks.
Yeah, he put a few guys on there in that first inning, but only got out of it with one run.
Yeah, so, this game's going on as we speak.
Yeah.
So.
Two innings, two walks, two strikeouts, and an earned run. He had the bases loaded at one point, so they got a sac fly out of it. He did pitch out of a jam. But
the first three batters were walk, single walk, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
And then Dane Dunning, two innings, two hits, no runs, no strikeouts. That was good. So while we're taping this, Hansen's going to take the mound, so we'll update you on how Hansen does. Not sure if we're going to have Nate Jones or not, but that is the situation. So coming up later on the podcast, we're going to talk about this. Are the White Sox still looking for a designated hitter? And if so, who? But first, my conversation with Lucas Giolito and why White Sox fans should be excited to watch him pitch this season. Let's do it. First off, Lucas, how does it feel to have shedded the top pitching prospect label? It is now no longer attached to you. Mm-hmm. Is that a sense of relief?
Definitely, big time relief. I'd say that, I carried that I guess, title for a while. I was kind of like up and down. I was one at one point. I dropped, and I always paid attention to it a little bit, you know, moving through the minor leagues and looking back on it. You know, that stuff's pretty cool. You know, it can kind of pump you up, make you feel good about yourself. But in the end, the question is, what are you going to do at the big league level? Can you produce at the big league level? Can you contribute to a team? And so I'm glad that I just finally have the opportunity to do that, and all that other stuff is in the rear view.
You were asked about it a lot. I think I probably asked you about it. Did that have the potential of messing with you mentally, knowing that this was always going to come up and you had to live up to those expectations?
Yeah, I'd say especially with the trade, coming off 2016, where I didn't perform well at all that year. I get traded over, new organization. I still have this like label on me of being like a top pitching prospect guy. While, you know, I'm going to a new place, I'm trying to impress people, but at the same time, I had a lot of things off mechanically I was trying to fix. Mentally, I was not in the best place as far as pitching went. So it definitely added some extra pressure that I didn't deal with it well for a while. And then eventually it just took a little bit of experience and, you know, a little bit of kind of like, you know, finding myself as a pitcher again. Working with Kat and Charlotte really helped a lot. You know, just all about every day, you know, go out there, you know, trust your stuff. No matter what it is that day, you trust your stuff and you have confidence.
Yeah, you came here, you wanted to prove yourself all over again, like you were trying with the Nationals, and you're thinking too much with the radar gun. Was that something that was going on?
Yeah,
in the back of your
you know,
mind?
I saw I wasn't throwing as hard, and I was like, where'd the velocity go? Oh, it's my mechanics. My mechanics are bad. I need to fix those. And, you know, then I'm trying to make adjustments. Like, why can't I make this adjustment? It kind of compounds. It goes, you know, it just builds and builds and builds, and it can weigh on you a ton. And, you know, I was 22, 23, I guess, yeah, 22, just turning 23, I guess, later in the year. And I didn't handle it very well. I put a lot of pressure on myself to fix all these different things about my performance, all these different things about my pitching, and try to do it all in one go, and instead of just relaxing and remembering, hey, you know, what am I here for? Why do I play the game? And so, yeah.
Your AAA pitching coach, Steve McCaddy, was the pitching coach with the Nationals, worked with Steven Strasburg, and Strasburg had those expectations put on him. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine you and McCaddy had some talks about Strasburg, and maybe not directly, but I'd like to think that his experience with Strasburg could carry over to you in some way.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, talking about, I never got to work with Kat. I think I may have briefly met him a couple times while I was a National, because,
right,
you know, I was in the low minors while he was a pitching coach. But last year working with him, we would talk about Strauss. We would talk about, you know, his development, things he's gone through, you know, similar stuff in certain areas. And so, you know, being able to play with him too, being able to play with Strauss and Scherzer and those guys, I learned a lot that year as well. But I really enjoyed working with Kat. I mean, so much of it was just about relaxing and trusting
yeah.
stuff. I feel like I repeat myself, but that's essentially what it boils down to.
We were talking with Alec Hansen, and you know, he says he wants to strike everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
That's his goal. He wants to be able to do that, and you can't really live up to those expectations. And McCaddy, I was just talking to him, and he had a great story about the national anthem. Do you know about this story? Has he shared this with you?
About the national anthem?
Yeah.
He might have.
Okay, I kind of buried, not buried the lead, but I kind of, the punchline, I just gave it to you. But which was basically when he pitched, he knew he was going to give up a hit whenever they played that song.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they played that song was the national anthem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of like, it puts things in perspective, because this is baseball.
Yeah.
You're not going to be perfect. It's so mental, and
yeah,
you can't put that kind of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You want to set high expectations for yourself. You want to try and achieve, you know, great goals. But at the same time, it is a game of failure, and there's so much that you have to learn through experience, whether that be success or failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that you know, especially going through the minor leagues, there's so much that you have to learn. A lot of it's about development. So, Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy ride for sure.
You pitched against the Cubs in Mesa last year, mm-hmm. and Coop said that that might have been done on purpose. Did you feel like that was like, let's see where he's at? Let's put him in Mesa against the Cubs early in his Sox career. Were you kind of feeling that when he said, you know what, we're going to put you in this position?
No, it was kind of like a challenge. You know, they fill the stadium out over there, and, you know, I show up, and it's like, whoa, this is like, you know, what, 20,000 people maybe around there in the stadium, and I was like, all right, here we go. It's my, you know, first time in Arizona. It's a little different than Florida spring training. So, yeah, it ended up, I pitched okay. I think I gave up a home run to Addy Russell. But, yeah, same time, I was like, I remember that game like I was forcing things. Like, you know, I might have pitched okay, but it was like I was forcing the ball over the plate instead of just relaxing, trusting, and letting it happen, which is kind of like my mantra now. I'm saying that all the time, just having confidence in yourself and letting it go.
Yeah. When you got to the majors, I would watch your stuff in the minors, and you had this devastating curveball. Did you not have a feel for it once you got to the majors?
Yeah, I last year, I was throwing the slider well for a strike, and I was throwing the slider well for like an out pitch, you know, dirt, you know, throwing the dirt. The curveball, it was popping out of my hand a lot. I would try to throw it for a strike early, and I'd dirt it, or it would pop out and be a non-competitive pitch. So I took that into the off season. I really, really worked hard on getting the feel and the command of the curveball, and it's doing really well so far here in spring training. I'm looking forward to throwing it more because it's definitely my best breaking pitch. It has good break and good velocity and things like that. So, yeah, I definitely want to throw it more.
When you go into a major league game, I'm just reflecting back to last season. You know you don't have that pitch with you mm-hmm. on the mound. What are you telling yourself, and how do you build yourself up to be like, okay, I don't have this pitch today. Yeah. What do I do?
Well, luckily I'm throwing like six pitches now. So I can go and pick out different ones. You know, if one's not working, I can always rely on another one. I'd say the pitches, I mean, for me, I don't want to give too much away, but you know, I don't know who'll be watching, but essentially I always have confidence throwing my changeup. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like throwing fastball for me. So, you know, I can reach out and I feel like I can throw that for a strike whenever. The slider too, it doesn't, you know, it's kind of like a cut slider, so it will sometimes not break too much, so it's kind of easy to control. I can throw that to the outer third of the plate or whatever I need it to do. So I always have confidence going into games, no matter how I feel in the bullpen or what it may be, that I know that I can go out and execute those pitches. And then obviously the fastball, I've been working on commanding that pitch, especially the extension side, a little bit more. And so I try to take with me a confidence in my ability to do what I go out to do every fifth day, which is, you know, command these pitches, you know, depending on how I feel that day. You know, maybe one's not working. I still have my five others I can go to that I'm going to have confidence in. So.
That's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
What was your best moment, worst moment in the majors last year?
Best moment, worst moment in the majors. Best moment, 100% locking my first win. It was kind of my best and worst moment, I guess I can put into one story, because I was kind of cruising. That game was against Detroit. It was the players' weekend. We were in the cool jerseys and everything. And, I was pitching well. I was throwing a lot of first pitch strikes. I was getting ahead of guys, getting weak contact. The defense was really great behind me that game as well. We had a bunch of runs on the board. I want to say we're winning like 5-0 or 6-0 or something. And I go into the seventh inning and I'm literally just like, I'm going to get my first win today. This is it. This is happening. I'm going to go lock it down. I knew my pitch count was getting up there. Seventh inning would be my last. And, sometimes you go into an inning like that, instead of sticking to the game plan, you know, you're already thinking about what's going to happen next. And so it ended up being a little bit rough. I think I might have walked a couple guys, gave a base hit. Next thing you know, it's two outs, bases loaded. And Ricky comes out and he's talking to me and Smitty, and he's basically saying, you know, trying to calm me down a little bit, make sure I slow it down, and, you know, let me know that he has confidence in me, the whole team has confidence in me, that I'm going to get out of this myself. And he let us know a little bit about, you know, what pitches would be good to throw in that situation. Well, he goes back in the dugout, and I do the exact opposite of what he told me to do. And I want to say it was Iglesias, shortstop.
Yep.
Yeah, he hits a nuke that's like just foul like this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's 0-0.
Yes.
Bases loaded, two outs. And he just demolishes his first pitch. Like, as soon as I threw it, I was like, oh, no. And I'm like looking. Oh, it's foul. Okay, no problem. Like, reset button. It's 0-1 count. Let's go. Let's get out of this inning. Well, the umpires didn't see it, so they let him run all the way around the bases. And, you know, Detroit's like, oh, we're back in this game. Like, it was, like, completely deflating to, like, the entire stadium. And so it was just kind of like this awkward moment. I guess that was probably the worst moment I had last year, because – or getting tossed from the – or getting thrown out of the game.
Yeah, you did get thrown out of a game.
But that ended up being kind of fun, because that never happened to me before. But, yeah, I mean
– you were upset about balls and strikes. I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But –
well, what a roller coaster. You had your worst moment and best moment in the same game.
Yeah, that is – I mean – If that ball was, like, you know, 6 feet to the right, it would have, you know, completely deflated that whole outing. And, you know, I was on a mission to get my first win that day. But yeah, I'd say that the best moment was getting him to ground out, you know, 7 strong innings, no runs, and we end up, you know, securing the win. And, you know, the shower and everything after with the teammates is unbelievable. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
We look at the talent that's here, pitching mm-hmm. talent specifically. How many potential aces are here with the White Sox?
I'd like to say that you know, I've been asked, like, oh, do you want to be the ace of the staff? Like, of course, like any pitcher wants to be ace of the staff. But personally, I want the White Sox staff to have 5 aces. You know, every single day, whoever's taking that mound is the ace of that day. And that's who we're behind. That's the ace of the staff on the mound. And now, you know, we'll have 5 of them. And so now we're going out there and we have swagger, we have confidence, everyone's supporting each other, defense is back there doing a great job. You know, that's how I see it. Especially with, you know, the stuff guys have, you know, watching the bullpens, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, the A-ball guys and up, the big league, current big league guys, everyone's got nasty stuff. So yeah, it's gonna be real fun.
I was watching you shagging flies.
Mm.
You're out there for like an eternity. Mm-hmm. You got the short straw. But way back in the beginning of this, Eloy Jimenez was out there, and mm-hmm. he was hitting.
Yeah.
What was it like being, you were in center field, mm-hmm. and you're seeing Jimenez hit? What was going through your mind as he's swinging?
I'm glad he's on my team. Same with Robert. I mean, same with Abreu, same with Avi. And
Moncada.
I mean, Moncada, it goes on. I mean, there's... You know, with guys like that, they swing in BP, and it looks like a nice, easy swing, but the ball just, like, jumps off their bat. It's, like, different. It comes off different. And I, you know, all I can say is I'm glad that guy's on my team, and I'm playing with him and not against him.
All right, back with Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber. It's funny that Lucas Giolito is 23 years old. He sounds like he's 40. This guy's wise beyond his years, and, you know, he's come here with the White Sox, and I kind of thank the Nationals organization for really messing with him, giving him all sorts of adversity. Get that out of the way. We don't have to deal with it. He already has dealt with it with the Nationals. So watch the Nationals organization. I just want to say thanks.
Yeah, I know. Like, look at the adversity Kopech went through in Boston. You have the adversity Giolito went through with Washington. So they've already had speed bumps as they've come up here now with the White Sox. It's almost like a clean slate for Giolito. I love the way he reacted to your question about just being no longer called the prospect. I mean, you could see the weight from his shoulders in the interview. I was right there with you, and he just was like, oh, my God, thank you.
It's funny. The reason why I asked him that question was at Sox Fest, he comes to sit down where he was on STL, Sports Talk Live, and the first thing out of his mouth, I think Kaplan asked him the question, or maybe I did, and had nothing to do with being the number one ranked prospect. He brought up himself, and I'm like, and he was like so relieved, and I'm like, ding, ding, ding. When I get to spring training, I'm asking Lucas Giolito about being the number one prospect and not being that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the confidence of all these guys, right? And I mean, you've written about it a lot. You got sound bites out the wazoo at spring training of these guys saying what great things they were going to do. And certainly Giolito falls into that category. Kopech, obviously. I mean, these guys are gearing up to be a great rotation. I mean, when you got them saying there's going to be five aces, not one, it's an amazing soundbite. It's amazing the confidence in these guys. And I think it really helps them, especially guys like Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez, going into the season, majors from day one to the finish. It's only going to help them.
And I like the fact that it's not I don't think it's arrogance.
No.
It's flat out. It's just the confidence in each other to be better. The competition that these guys go out, you know, Reynaldo Lopez strikes out 7. Giolito wants to strike out 8. Fulmer wants to strike out 9. Kopech wants to strike out 10. And that, collectively as a staff, is only going to make them better. I love that how they want each other to be great. If you know, if Giolito throws 7 innings of 2-hit ball, he wants the next guy to go 7 1/3 of 1-hit ball, and he's completely fine with it. I love that. There's no ego. They check everything at the door, and I think a lot of that goes back to Renteria, as we've discussed. Mm-hmm. And I can't get enough of these guys talking, because it's hard to believe a lot of times, and the three of us have all had experience with this. You're talking to a 21, 22, 23-year-old.
Yeah, I know. And I wanted to bring up that Detroit Tigers game where that was his best game and his worst game of last year. I vividly remember that game was not on our channel, but I remember like following along, I think on my phone, and I'm like, I wasn't watching any of the game. And then it was like the sixth inning. I'm like, look, Giolito's got like 6 scoreless innings. And then I'm watching on my phone, I'm like, oh, the bases are loaded now. And then it said he gave up a grand slam. And I'm thinking, oh, it's all gone to crap.
Yeah.
And then it was reversed.
I know. I was watching that game at home, too, thinking the exact same thing. I flipped it on, like, all right. I'm going to – kind of like he was. I'm already like, what a great moment for this kid. He's going to have his first win. We're in the sixth. I'm literally going through the same thought process as he is, except I don't have to throw any pitches. And then it all falls apart. I'm like, you know, Kurt, like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I know.
It's funny to see, like, him talk about mindset on the mound, where he's immediately going to, what a great moment for me. I'm going to hit this milestone. And – hey, hello, I'm still in the game. I think it's really cool that he was open and honest about that.
And there's another growing pain. And there's going to be more in 2018, but that's what I love, is that when he came up with the Nationals, they were going for a pennant. And they were, talk about pressure. He had he couldn't make any mistakes. He can.
Same thing with Lopez. They brought him up. He pitched in the
playoffs.
Postseason.
I know. I still can't believe that.
Speaking of Lopez and some of these other guys you mentioned that are pitching today while we tape this podcast.
How's Hanson doing?
Hanson is a mixed bag right now.
Uh-oh.
Leadoff single on the first pitch, strikes out Joey Votto on 3 pitches.
Ooh.
On 3 pitches.
Wait, 3 pitches. Wait, you've been saving that?
Yeah.
The moment you saw that, you should have interrupted whoever was talking and say that.
That's got to be the quickest at bat of Joey Votto's career.
This should be the name of the podcast. We should start all over and do a podcast that Alec Hanson struck out Joey Votto on 3 pitches.
Yeah, but the problem is...
what happened next?
There are a lot of guys who've struck out a great batter in their time. You know?
I know.
And then the rest wasn't so great.
I know.
Particularly in spring training, correct?
Particularly probably in this game.
You want me to tell you, he's faced 4 batters.
Okay, what's happened?
Joey Votto, he struck out on 3 pitches. Should we stop there?
Well, I'd like to, but no, we need the
Suarez
truth.
Suarez leadoff single on the first pitch. Joey Votto struck out on 3 pitches. Scooter Gennett singled to right. And Devin Mesoraco just hit a ground rule double. So
Okay.
So, mixed bag.
Yeah.
Mixed bag.
It's not even a mixed bag anymore. Right now it's kind of he struck out one of the best hitters in the game. Probably should have been in any other year would have been the National League MVP last year.
All right. Well, that's
progress.
That's progress. I remember that.
Collectively, and this goes to Giolito, I think control has been part of the issue with some of these young guys, with the exception of Kopech, who had no walks, and there's been so much talk about his control in the last year. Giolito walked 2 yesterday. Lopez walked 2 today. Dunning walked 1 today. Fulmer got in some trouble. So the one thing to look at here is that this is all, every one of these guys has made 1 appearance.
Right. Well, and Chuck, you said it too, the term growing pains. I mean, remember, all these guys are so young, and this is not a season, no matter how much Kool-Aid we might be drinking individually, this is not a season where they're expected to compete. This is player development in 2018. And I mean, growing pains are going to happen, be they at the major league level or be they in the minors. And there's really no rush. These guys can take their time and experience those growing pains.
Well, we've seen from Giolito, we saw him last year. I looked this up from last year. In the games that he had his command, he wasn't walking guys, dominated.
Dominated. He was dominant. Yep.
The games where he had walked 3 walks, 4 walks, okay, he struggled. So it's very simple
pitchers,
with him,
because Yeah.
I mean, even Lopez. When Lopez walked guys last year, he was in trouble.
Right, but I think that just shows you that when his stuff, he's got stuff that is dominant. And when he has, when he's just throwing the ball over the plate and he's not walking guys, you know, because he could be throwing the ball right over the plate and they're just smacking him. That's not happening with him.
I think what's funny is to go back to what Vinny just said. Kopech had made two starts in Charlotte. Dunning never pitched above Winston-Salem last year. Alec Hanson made two starts in Birmingham. And we're sitting here like being critical, like, hey, struck out Joey Votto, but the next four, you know, like, he made two starts in Birmingham.
Right.
He was pretty damn good.
Dunning only got to Winston-Salem. He's looking pretty good.
Dane Dunning was only in Winston-Salem. Lopez and Giolito and Fulmer, those are like that guys that are going to make an impact in 2018 as soon as opening day begins. That much we know.
But even those guys have ways to go till they're at their potential. I mean, Rick Hahn was listing everybody on the team, it seemed, during spring training when he was talking about guys who are not finished products yet, and certainly that applies to those two guys.
I think that's a great point, and I think that also throws cautions to the wind about, you know, we're talking about, taking the over on 68 and a half wins. Growing pains are going to be a part of it. You're talking about guys that have never come close. They don't have a guy in their rotation that threw 200 innings last year.
Right.
And the bullpen's a mixed, speaking of mixed bag, that bullpen's got a lot of question marks.
Yeah, and Lopez needs to strike out guys. This was only his first start, but I don't think he had any strikeouts again. So that was his issue at the end of last year, so I'm watching that. I mean, he's got electric stuff. He's got a K, guys, and that hasn't happened so far.
So Alec Hanson has thrown his complete inning.
Okay.
All right, one inning, two earned, three hits, one strikeout of Joey Votto. Oh, it should say one strikeout of Joey Votto.
You get like a strikeout and a half in the step.
I agree. Totally agree. No walks, though.
Right. It's kind of like he doubled down and he hit.
Yeah.
You know, he got a 21.
And on three pitches, too. It was an ace king. Absolutely. Yeah. Ace
if only
king.
This game was on television or even on the web, and it's nuts. So this is how we have to watch games or follow along on games. I think Jones might be next, or Hanson might have another inning.
Yeah, he may have another inning.
All right, so if it happens while we tape this podcast, you are going to find out. Up next, the White Sox are reportedly looking to sign a DH. Is the answer Matt Kemp? You're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. We're back in a moment.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
Right, we're back on the podcast. John Heyman reported on MLB Network that the White Sox are looking for a designated hitter. Okay, we're going to talk about that. And for maybe about 2 seconds, we're going to talk about his speculation that the Sox would be interested in Matt Kemp. You want to take this? Because you wrote about this on the web.
Yeah, a trade is certainly not happening. To give up anything at all of any value for a guy who's going to make that much money.
It's what, $23 million or something like that?
It's I think it's $43 million over the next 2 years. I mean, for a rebuilding team, that just makes zero sense whatsoever.
For any team, it makes zero sense.
Correct. I mean, you know, the Dodgers could release him, and then he becomes a free agent like a lot of other people out there, and then obviously the attractiveness changes there, but to do it in a trade, that makes no sense for the Sox.
All right, so who's still out there? Got Adam Lind, Mark Reynolds, Melky Cabrera, Jose Bautista, Carlos Gonzalez. As we sit here today, we're a week into spring training games, or a little less than that. How are any, I mean, one, two, three, that's five, six guys I just named. How are these six guys going to find a home?
They might not. The one thing that's different about free agent hitters right now than pitchers is that hitters are hitting right now. And when they get into – when they do
injuries
get
or something?
When
or?
They get signed, whether it's today, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, they'll be able, in theory, to kind of catch up. Any pitcher right now, that's a whole – they're most likely at this point not going to make – they're not going to be available opening day.
Right.
So I think the guys that – whether it's injuries or just lack of – but you know, budging on some kind of financial deal that they think that they're worth, that they're not getting – at some point – we've mentioned this so many times, I would think desperation is going to kick in, but – if you read Vinny's article, I think he breaks it down really well. You have Matt Davidson, okay? So you're bringing in the only guy under 33 on that list is Carlos Gonzalez.
And he's 32.
He's 32. And if you go back to what they did with Melky last year, they flipped him at the deadline for two, as you called them.
They're not among the more buzzworthy.
They're more
Sox
Puckett's okay. There's possibilities with the
You're hoping to catch a little.
Yes, lighting the bottle.
Down the road.
Down the road. Like, there's no. So if you do bring in Jose Bautista, for instance, and you did flip him at the deadline. I mean, there could be some value in that, but you could also see for real, for sure, and we've talked about Matt Davidson a few times on the podcast, this could be the you'll have a definitive answer one way or another on Matt Davidson.
Maybe what you do is this. Matt Davidson's your DH. Season starts. As I was saying, there's no way these six guys are signing by opening day. I just cannot see that happening. Two get picked up, maybe. They're just going to be out there. And if the White Sox see, Matt Davidson's struggling.
Right.
Okay, we're going to send him down to the minors, and we'll sign one of these guys. Or Matt Davidson's doing great, and they're like, you know what? I'm not going to call Melky Cabrera because we don't need him. Maybe that's what they're doing.
But I guess the question is, do they need any of those guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, really, if they're not expecting to compete and contend in 2018, what do you gain from taking those at-bats away from Matt Davidson?
And what's up with John Heyman's report? He's saying John that they're Heyman's looking for a DH.
But he's been reporting for 4 weeks that they've been looking for a DH.
Right. Yeah. So is it accurate, you think?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and call John Heyman's reports inaccurate. I'm sure it's accurate, but every team is in the market right now for something.
And because of what that market is,
there's unusual. There's 95 players that are free agents right now. Every single team in baseball right now is actively looking for something.
The White Sox signing one of those guys is a completely low-risk move because of the contract that they're going to demand. None of those guys at this point, how things have played out, are going to demand more than a one-year deal for a few million dollars. I mean, it's just the way that it's played out. And, I mean, you can go get Carlos Gonzalez. Man, Carlos Gonzalez is not long removed
from
being an elite hitter.
That's the one guy. I like that move because I like the flexibility. And it protects you in the outfield. Jose Bautista doesn't really do a lot.
And he's 37 years old.
I mean, other than the fact that he made bat flip in a game once or twice against the Cubs at Wrigley.
Jose Bautista seems like the guy the Yankees would sign if someone gets hurt. Like, they're like, we are ready to win this year. Oh, we just lost so-and-so.
And if you're Jose Bautista, you're probably looking at that. You're probably going, you know what? I'm 37. I don't know if I'm going to get signed at all. At this point, if I do get signed, there's five teams I'll play for.
Yeah.
Houston, the Yankees.
Why don't the Red Sox sign him?
Because they just signed J.D. Martinez.
No, I know, but as a DH. Who's their DH? Who's the Red Sox?
Well, they had J.D. Martinez?
No, yeah. He'll play outfield, won't he?
They had the fewest homers.
No, I know. They've got Benintendi, Bradley, and Betts.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's J.D. Okay. Yeah.
They had the fewest homers in all of baseball.
That's why I'm bringing it up, because they obviously are going to benefit big time from J.D. Martinez's home runs, but they were last in the American League. I could see them trying to get one more person. But if J.D.'s playing DH, then that's a different story.
I've really thought about this Matt Davidson thing a lot the last few weeks because he made a comment in spring training that's really kind of resonated with me because he said if you Google your name, you could pretty much find your flaw just by Google. And he's aware of what his splits were, and he's also aware.
He said it. That's right.
He did.
I mean, he actually mentioned he wants to get more walks.
He did. He mentioned, I just like the fact that he's like, if you type Matt Davidson in Google, the flaws are right there. You don't have to look at video to find out that you hit 185 in the second half. But it was the first time he played a full major league season. So, yes, he struggled. But he did have 26 homers, which ranked second to Jose Abreu on the team.
And you want to know who's tearing up the first 5 days of Cactus League play?
Matt Davidson. That includes two walks.
It does include two walks.
You know, if Matt Davidson can do what he did, and well, the first
now,
half
today he's over three with two strikeouts. So.
We're really riding the roller coaster, aren't we?
The mixed bag is. This should be the mixed bag podcast.
It is. We got all sorts of things. But I mean, if Matt Davidson can get his strikeouts down to about 120, and get his walks
up to 30,
that's not good enough. I don't think it's good enough.
Again, I'm going back. I'm kind of on the Vinny's post here.
Yeah.
What's the risk of putting Matt Davidson on the field every day, whether it's DH or occasionally?
No, that's fine.
Then you know, from 2018 at the end of the season, moving forward 2019 and beyond, Matt Davidson's place on this team is X. And you know, there's no like, should we give him 200 at-bats against lefties? No, you don't need to because it's all right there in front of you. You have two seasons worth.
And that assessment is going to apply to a lot of guys this season,
I think.
I mean, you talk about somebody like Yomer Sanchez, even somebody as quote-unquote proven as Avi Garcia, who had a great year last year. That's what this year's going to be about for him, too. It's all about finding out what's happening for the future, and Davidson is one of those guys who I think that really applies
to. And it applies from top all the way down to Kannapolis, mm-hmm. Rookie, if you want to even go lower.
All right, so before we finish up here, let's get to some predictions. Of these free agents, who is going to sign first? Adam Lind, Mark Reynolds. I don't think Mark Reynolds signed. I don't think he did. Melky Cabrera, Jose Bautista, Carlos Gonzalez.
Adam Lind.
Adam Lind signs.
Played in a reserve role with the Nationals last year. Did a good job. Really high on base percentage. I think
that was my guy, actually, on the podcast we did.
Contender could pick him up as a bench guy and really benefit from his bat.
I'm going to say Cargo just because of the, you know, no risk, high reward, and you know the potential with that bat that you can get from him. And I think a contender, he's really appealing to a contender, and he's a left-handed hitter.
Glove, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, before we wrap up, where are we at with the game there, Guff?
We're top of the sixth.
Who's on the mound?
Vinny's, well, we're in the top half.
The White Sox are
hitting.
There's
two
men on.
Vinny's guy, Leary Garcia, has singled again as a center fielder. He thinks he's the opening day center fielder.
He's a hit machine today.
Yeah, Luis Basabe just took over for him. So that's where we are, Chuck.
All right, so we don't know if Jones is going
to
pitch.
Tim Anderson's about to hit a three-run homer. If you want me to, if that happens on the podcast, I'm literally unclipping my mic and walking.
All right, well, I'm going to say the goodbye. But if something happens after I say the goodbye that is earth-shattering, we're going to have to come back on, and we will report it to all of you. Should we just wait for it to happen?
This could be one of those 12-pitch at-bats.
Tim Anderson's up right now?
He's up right now.
Let's just talk while Tim Anderson is up, and we can talk about Tim Anderson, because I think he's going to have a big season.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it
depends on what big season. I think he's going to be more of the guy he was rookie year, if you want, like that, which would be a big season.
I think the strikeouts are still going to be there. Yep. His walks aren't going to be what yep. people want, but I think his batting average is going to be up there. His power numbers, I'm feeling really good about him.
What about him in the field?
Better, for sure. Remember how his defense was better than his offense when he came up, which was kind of surprising. And then last year,
stolen bases.
Those are going way up.
Wow, way up.
He had 9 stolen bases in September.
Do you think he'll have 20 stolen bases?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
The guy was a different hitter at the end of the year than he was throughout the rest of it. That's
we
for sure.
are going to make our predictions like we did last year before the season.
Oh,
season
I know.
Long
Trust
predictions.
Me, that, was most, that was one of the most fun podcasts. That making the predictions and then coming back and revisiting them were two of the my favorite moments of the year.
One of them is going to be how many steals will Tim Anderson get?
Last year I wrote that down. We never got to it. I had my.
Oh, really?
You know, I actually remember. It's 21 is what I had last year, and that would still play.
Okay.
Oh,
what's so funny about that? What did he end up with, by the way? Steals, because.
Like, not 21.
And he had 9 in the last month.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was working for you, Guff.
I know. Speaking of working for me, I think his patience at the plate is showing off as he swung at the first pitch, I think. He gone.
He struck out?
Swung at the first pitch and reaches on a fielding error by Cliff Pennington.
There you go.
All right.
So, there we go.
Well, that's
I think this podcast is over.
White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/socks. That is www.wintrust.com/socks. And we'll talk to you soon.